Hebrews 13 again tonight, if you would, please. Hebrews 13. Let's all stand together. Let me read beginning in verse 1, and then I'm going to quiz you as I read. I'm going to ask you what that verse has to do with as far as a better church, okay? Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. What does that have to do with? What did we call it in the sermon? Christian love. Remember, Christian love, all right? Christian love among the brethren. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. What did we say that was? Comforting strangers. Yes, Christian hospitality. That's exactly right. Comforting strangers. People that aren't part of the family or new to church, or maybe they're just not very plugged in yet. It's just good old-fashioned hospitality. Verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Compassion. Are y'all with me? Okay, I know some of you maybe weren't here, but now we're going to get to verse 4. This is what everyone's been looking for. Marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. On this verse number 4, we're going to talk tonight in regards to a better church on this topic. Clean and pure living. Yeah. Clean and pure living. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the grace that is available to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for salvation, full and free and forever. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit and for this blessed place. These people, Lord, Lord God, they lift my spirits. They encourage me. It's a blessing to be here, Lord. There's just such a sweet, humble spirit here, Lord. I'm thankful, God, to be the shepherd, your shepherd of this flock, Lord, your flock. Thank you, God, for putting us here tonight. For giving us strength, and I pray now you'd give us, Lord, an ear to hear, that our hearts would be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, Lord, that you'd fill this place from every word that's said, Lord God, you'd fill it with your Spirit. God, hearts and minds, souls would be touched and changed, Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Clean and pure living. No matter how you slice it, dearly beloved, purity is godly. Amen. Purity is godly. Pure living is godly living. Clean thinking is godly thinking. Amen. Notice again in verse 4, notice how the verse compares honorable living to dishonorable or impure living. Again, it says, marriage is, what's that word? Honorable in all in the bed and undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's dishonorable, impure, okay? God will judge, it says, those people. God will judge them who live dishonorable lives. Now, I want you to remember that we're talking about a book here, a letter of the epistle written to these Hebrews, written to Christians, okay? Now, the Bible tells us that these folks, these men will be judged by God. Why? Not because they're unsaved, not because they're something other than a sinner, but because they have an impure life. They are living, and they are whoremongers and adulterers. They live impure, shameful, disgraceful, vile, and detestable lives. And the word undefiled is also in here in verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled. Again, the word undefiled is pointing to marriage and the marriage bed, the marriage union, but obviously the whoremongers and adulterers are the opposite. The contrast of the other side of that is being defiled, amen? These sins, listen, these sins defile the body. These sins defile the mind. These sins defile the heart. These sins defile the marriage. These sins defile the family. These sins defile the home. And dearly beloved, listen to me. These sins absolutely, you better mark it down, guaranteed, these sins defile God's church. Amen. God's church. Amen. Notice the wording here in verse 4, whoremongers and adulterers. These are not one-time actions. This is not someone who fell into this sin and committed this sin and is now never touching. This is someone who has developed a lifestyle. Are you listening to me? They've developed a lifestyle of this filthy, immoral, defiled lifestyle. These are people who are now living, listen, presumptuously. The word presumptuous just means they are living in boldness against God, and they know it. They know it, amen. This is a willful and intentional lifestyle, basically shaking their fist toward heaven. And it's unclean, it's defiled, it's impure. Notice also the references here, and this is just introduction, I'll get to the message, but listen, the references here are to the male race, or to the male gender. Not the race, the male gender. Men, listen, a whoremonger and an adulterer, those are men, okay? An adulteress is a woman. An adulterer, a whoremonger, is a man. These are men that this is referring to. And men are naturally more prone to these impure lifestyles, amen? Men are sadly more likely to end up like this, unfortunately. Women and children are usually the victims of this lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying that they can't perpetrate and live that lifestyle, but usually they're a victim somewhere along the way, and then they become that later on in their own life. But listen, this verse is written to believers, dearly beloved. This verse is written to Christians. It reminds us, listen, that these people, this lifestyle is nothing new.
Right.
This is not anything new to be defiled, and these people have and always will be around. Listen, even at church.
That's right.
Even at church. Listen, understand something. Marriage is honorable, okay? Don't forget that. The Bible says marriage is honorable. God brought marriage to man. God instituted the institute of marriage in the Garden of Eden. God brought to Eve, to Adam, he made marriage. It is between one man and one woman.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the honorable part of, that's the beauty of marriage. It represents salvation. It represents Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. It's God's plan for males and females. You understand the Bible says that woman is created for the man. Amen? And so, listen, God did not create a woman without a man in mind. The fact of the matter is people that live their whole lives single is because somebody's out of the will of God. Amen. Okay? This is the only honorable way between one man and one woman. Every other falsely so-called marriage is ungodly. Any other type of marriage with two men and two women and all that junk that's going on today, it is ungodly, it is defiled, it is unclean, it is impure, and listen, and it is awaiting certain judgment. I guarantee you, folks, there are saved people that have turned their backs on God now living that lifestyle.
Right.
Well, you say, preacher, are they still saved? You know, sometimes you pray for me. Sometimes I wish they weren't. But you know what? They can't lose their salvation. And by the grace of God, I thank God for that. You understand what I mean when I say that. That they are disgracing the name of Christ.
Amen.
They're disgracing our Bible. They're disgracing our Savior. They're disgracing the purity that is our God. Understand, God is perfect and pure in every way. Amen. Marriage is honorable. God established it. Anything God establishes is honorable.
Right.
Is good, amen. It's what we need. See, it wasn't good that man be alone. It wasn't good that man be alone. Adam was out there naming animals, and God looked down at him and said, "Oh boy, what does rhinoceros mean, Adam? You need a wife. A wife would have probably come up with a better name than elephant." Now, y'all, come on, lighten up a little bit, okay? See, but man is dishonorable. Marriage is honorable. Man is very dishonorable. Whenever a man is allowed to do things his way, he defiles the thing. He defiles it all.
Right.
Sooner or later, if you let a man run the show, it's going to be defiled mess. A defiled mess.
Right.
You folks, listen to me. That's why we're not a part of a convention or an association or any of that kind of stuff as a church. We are independent Baptists. We are governed by the Word of God. Christ is the head of this church. Amen. No board or committee of men and women sitting somewhere in another country or in another city governing who pastors, governing who runs the show. That's what everybody else is doing. And listen, men are running the thing. And it's no wonder it's so defiled today. Whenever a man gets involved and starts doing things his way, he defiles the whole thing. Man is always dishonored and shamed what God created for good. Man is always dishonored and shamed it. God's ways are honorable. Honorable means moral, praiseworthy, respectable, and upright. Man's ways are defiled, wicked, shameful, and appalling. Just icky. Yuck. Listen, can I say something? Sadly today, our society is defined by impurity.
Yes.
It does not take you 30 seconds to go outside of your home, maybe 30 seconds, maybe 30 minutes, depending on where you live, right, Brother Worcester? He lives way out there in the middle of the woods, right? But as soon as you get out around people, you're going to see impurities. You're going to see defilement. You're going to see corruption. You're going to see filth. Listen, God's power, listen now, don't, this is what I'm saying here. God's power is exalted and enjoyed by clean and pure living on our part.
Amen.
God identifies with clean and pure living. Here in our verse it tells us, He does not only not identify with it, filthy living, but He judges it.
So
our country does not, our country is not enjoying the power of God because God identifies and associates Himself with purity. And His power is poured out on those who are living their lives in pure and clean lifestyles. Jesus never committed one single sin. He never had one thought of foolishness run through His mind. You understand? That's why that man, Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, was so infinitely different than you and me, because He was without sin. And the Bible says in Hebrews 7 that He was undefiled, separate from sinners. Separate from sinners. God's power is purity. Listen, God's love is pure. God's mercy is pure. God's grace is pure. God's power is pure. God's word is pure. God's character is pure. God's spirit is pure. God's son is pure. God's salvation is pure. Listen to it. And God's church ought to be pure. 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 It's no wonder why we have such a great lack of God's power today in our country. But dearly beloved, we ought to be able to come to church.
Amen.
We ought to be able to come to church out of this old world and get in our little secret. This is not a secret place. But you understand, this is a sacred place.
Amen.
A sacred, not because of the walls and the ceiling, amen, but because of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It's a sacred place where we come out of the world and we're able to enjoy purity.
Amen.
We're able to talk to each other and not worry about what word's going to come out of your mouth.
Yeah, amen.
Come on. Like, you know, when you go to work and you don't know what's he going to say next, and you can't just go away. Stop talking to me.
Amen. Yeah.
Purity. Listen, I like purity. I love purity. I long for purity, and God's people ought to.
Amen.
Purity ought to be what we desire, what we look for, what we long for, what we strive for. It ought to be a part of our life. It ought to define our life. Purity. Clean living in every regard. Everything about God is perfect, pure, and undefiled. Every aspect of God is perfectly pure and clean. Man, however, is sin-sick. Sin-sick and defiled. There's a very specific reason. Listen to me now. There's a very specific reason from the Bible. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. But God told us that this nation, this society, our culture, our world was going to get to this point. God told us it was going to happen. This is written, remember, this is written to believers in church. Now keep that in mind and turn back with me to 2 Timothy, just a couple books, back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to show to you why God's creation, why God's people, why God's churches are so filled with impurities today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that means there's no doubt about it, okay? God says, know this, absolutely understand this is true, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times shall come. Let me explain that word. That word perilous means dangerous, yes. But when you study out the word, now pay attention, it has to do with lowering down into a void. Lowering something down into a void, okay? It has to do with being lowered down into a void. In other words, you're taken down away from where you're at, and you're taken down into a void where there's nothing there. And so, in other words, this is a time where God is warning us that God's people are living in purity and cleanliness and righteousness and holiness, that there's coming the day in the last days in which we are in today, dearly beloved, that the world is going to do everything they can to lower us down, take away our excitement, take away our zeal, take away our strength, take away our courage, take away our faith, and make us feel down and empty and void. And God says that's perilous. Of course it's perilous, because listen, God's people are the only hope America has. God's people are the only hope any world, any country has, excuse me. But in perilous times, the spirit of man in these perilous times, these last days before Jesus comes, they're trying to lower us down into a void where we feel like we're nothing, we're empty, and we're not accomplishing anything.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
Verse 2 says, why is it a perilous time? Because men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They despise those that are good. They despise purity. They despise righteousness. They despise clean living.
Right.
Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This is the spirit of our day. This is the spirit of our day. Listen to me. Let me just briefly explain these words to you. I know a lot of them we don't use today, but understand the word in verse 2, the lovers of their own selves, they're covetous, that they're greedy. Okay? They want more money. They want more stuff. You know why? Because they love pleasure. And more stuff and more money and more power is what they want, because they want to please themselves, because they love themselves. Okay? It says also they're boasters. Boasters means they brag about what they do. They brag about their sin. I don't have time to turn to Psalm 72, but they literally brag about their lifestyles. I mean, for goodness sakes, they have got to a place where they have forced, but our country is foolish enough to now have legalized the filth and the wickedness that the Bible condemns all the way down to the pits of hell. And now they're out in the middle of the streets walking through Walmart boasting of this filthy lifestyle. Why? Because they love themselves. They're boasters. Boasters, I don't have time to preach all these. Y'all are such a great church. You're such a great congregation. You just want me to preach, and I don't have all night, but I want to preach all of this, amen. I'm trying to hurry up, amen. I love you folks, amen. They're proud. That means they're self-righteous. You understand, they're marrying each other, men and men, and they're so proud of it, they think they're all right. They think they're right with God. I mean, they have come up to me on that college campus, I don't know if they have you or not, and they've told me that they're queer, and they said, what's wrong with that? I'm a Christian and I'm a queer, what about that? I mean, that this last week a young lady told me that. They're boasting. They're proud of it. They're so self-righteous. They're blasphemers, it says here in verse 2, excuse me. Blaspheming of God and man. They don't care. They will say and they will put you down. They will insult you and they will insult God. And no, because nobody's going to tell them what to do. Because they are lovers. They're disobedient. What does that mean, preacher? Disobedient to parents. That means it starts very early. It starts in the cradle nowadays. It starts very young. I mean, they are telling their parents what to do. Listen to me, folks. They are raising their parents and training their parents instead of the parents training the children. They are telling their parents what to do and what to buy and what not to buy and how to shop and where not to shop. And they are disobedient. It's rebellion, folks. And it's a spirit that is so prevalent that it's even in the little children.
Yep, that's right.
Let's move on here. It says they are unthankful. I mean, you could buy a child today. You could buy a child everything on the shelf and they'd still be unthankful. Yeah. You know why? Because they love themselves. And flesh is never satisfied. Mark it down, never satisfied.
Amen.
That's right.
Never. They're unthankful because they never have enough to please them. You can't please a person like this. But notice this next word. They're unholy. Hello, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
They're adulterers. They're whoremongers. They're sodomites. They're et cetera, et cetera. Look in verse 3. Without natural affection.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't just mean sodomy. Listen to me. Husbands don't know how to love wives. Because they love themselves.
Amen.
God put in when a man and a woman fall in love the Bible way, it's natural to have a great affectionate marriage.
Right.
It's natural to love each other and to want to be around each other, spend time with each other. But what is it today? I'm going out with the boys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going out with the girls.
Yep,
don't even know each other. They don't even communicate. They're roommates at best. Why? Because they don't have a natural affection anymore because they're growing up with this spirit, overcoming them. All they love is themselves.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to have a natural, you don't have a natural affection for your parents, a natural affection for your kids, a natural affection for your brothers and sisters, natural affection for your husband and wife. Hey, listen, natural affection for your church members. It's natural, listen to me. God puts that in the heart, but it's not happening because of such filthy lifestyles.
Yeah,
right. Impure lifestyles, defiled, corrupt lifestyles. Now listen, I told you I was hurrying, but listen, truce breakers. By the way, it's natural for a Christian to have an affection for his church.
Amen.
So, when a Christian tells me that they don't think they're going to come to church, or they don't, you know, they'll just come when they feel like it. See, that's because they love themselves.
Amen.
This spirit, listen, this spirit is taking over. This spirit has taken over.
Yeah.
And see, it's perilous, it's dangerous, and if it accomplishes what it wants to, it will, like I said, it will suck the life out of you.
Yeah, right.
It will bring you down to a place where you feel empty and void and worthless.
Amen.
Because you're trying to live clean.
Amen.
And pure.
Yeah.
And do things like the Bible says.
Amen.
But this spirit is so prominent, so prevalent. Listen to me, unholy, without now, they're truce breakers. They don't keep their word.
No.
You can't take anybody's word for anything anymore.
Yeah.
Well, because if they don't want to, they're not going to.
Yeah.
They'll tell you one thing, and 10 minutes later, they have something better come up. Why? Because they're lovers of themselves.
Yeah.
It's filthy. False accusers now, they lie about other people to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
Remember, they love pleasure. They love themselves. They will lie. They will say anything. By the way, that's what the Bible calls the devil, the accuser of the brethren. Remember, I'm talking about church people.
Yeah.
Folks, I know you can't believe that. But this is a passage written to a man named Timothy who was left at Ephesus to be a pastor.
Yeah,
right.
And Paul is warning him, these are the kind of people who are going to come in your church.
Uh-huh.
What?
Come on.
Yeah, it's no wonder the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 2 to that church at Ephesus that you have left your first love. First love was Jesus. The first love was the Bible. The first love was the Word of God. Amen. The preaching of the Bible. The church. Amen. Serving the Lord. Soul winning. Being a gospel witness. Loving my husband. Loving my children. Loving my parents. That was my first love. God's perfect will. But you left it. Why? Because you love yourself. The spirit. This is no new spirit, by the way. Well, this is why. Listen, the Bible tells us that they're heady. Heady, now listen, heady doesn't just mean what you think it means. Let me back up here. I don't want to get ahead of myself. They're false accusers, incontinent. Incontinent, that means they have no self-control. No self-control. No discipline. No schedule.
Yep.
No discipline. Just, you know, if I want to, I will. If I don't, I won't. Forget it. You know, I'm in control. It's my life.
Great.
Amen. And listen, here we go. And then it says that they're incontinent, they're fierce. Fierce means they're savage like animals. Savage like animals, they're wild-eyed and raging. Have you ever seen somebody like that? I mean, when you look in their eyes, they're just like... there's the fire of hell burning in their eyes. I mean, I know I'm not exaggerating. Not everybody's like that, but listen, this spirit is taking over. Now, alcohol, drugs, all kinds of those addictions, it brings all this up to the surface in a person. Because it's in them, it's in all of us. But this prevalent spirit, they're fierce. They're like raging animals. They're going to, like, have you ever seen an animal like a lion attack another animal for food? I mean, that's the picture that God's trying to draw here. They're just savage. They will do anything that they need to do to get their pleasure, their fix, their fun, their way. They will spit on God. They will spit on their mother, and they'll do it again if they have to. Amen. This is a spirit, folks. I'm hurrying here, but it says they're despisers of those that are good. Obviously, I don't have to explain that. They don't care about you. They don't want anybody around that's trying to do good. Amen. They're traitors. They're traitors, the Bible says. They will stab you in the back. They will be your best friend today, but thank God there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Right. Traitor doesn't know Proverbs 18:24. Amen. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Don't be a traitor. The spirit, though, listen, this is a terrible lifestyle. They're heady. The word heady means that they're rash. They just go headlong into everything. They don't think about it. They don't think it through. They don't study it. They don't plan. They just, let's go do this. Oh, forget that. And it looks like a teenager's bedroom. Their life looks like a teenager's bedroom. Their house, adults, looks like a teenager's bedroom. Well, because, you know, it's too much work to clean up. You know, it's not pleasurable.
Come on.
Amen. Come on, you folks. Listen, this is taking over.
Right.
You know, it used to be, I'm not going to talk about what it used to be, but it should be that a mother keeps house.
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
It should be that a Christian, whether he or she or their mother or parents are single, this should be that they understand cleanliness and tidiness and keeping things orderly. I'm not saying you got to, you know, spit shine the floors or your shoes and buff the floors, but I'm talking about keeping things neat and orderly. It's godly. This spirit of I love myself is taking over, and we don't think it's important. But listen, ladies, men, our houses are a direct reflection of our character.
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They're traitors. They're heady. They're high-minded. High-minded means their head's about this big.
Right.
Puffed up with pride. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's it right there. They don't reject God. Well, God's nowhere near first place in their life.
Amen.
They are.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, understand something. Again, I'm trying to get somewhere here, but notice this next verse in verse 5. They have a form of godliness. They're religious.
Right. Yep.
Okay? A form of they're religious. They'll talk about God. They'll talk about church when they feel like it, when it's good for them, when there's free lunch.
Come on.
Amen.
Yep.
Now listen, I'm getting somewhere. I'm not telling you anything new. I know you all know this, but I'm going to get you somewhere, and I'm going to give you something that I think is a blessing. It was for me anyway. But it says they have a form of godliness, but notice, they deny the what?
Power.
The power thereof. The power thereof is reference to godliness.
Amen.
Okay, the power of godliness is what I'm talking about. The whole message here tonight is the power of godliness, the power of purity.
Amen.
The power of clean and pure living.
Amen.
That's what makes God so powerful.
Amen.
That's what sets God completely apart from the rest of us,
right,
is His purity.
Amen.
His complete absence of sin. Zero zilch. He is so far away from sin, it'll make your head spin. When you get to heaven, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So will I. I know I haven't been there yet. But listen to me. It was so powerful that God stuck a thorn in Paul's flesh because he said, I've seen things that I cannot utter.
Yeah, that's right.
He saw some things when he was taken up to the third heaven. He got to go home. I believe he was stoned over at Lystra. He was stoned, and I believe he died, and God took him to heaven and showed him around and said, okay, Paul, look, this is what you got coming. Now go back down. Man, how terrible would that be? Oh, back to you. But you know what he did, folks? He went right back to the same town and he preached the gospel.
Amen.
And he kept on preaching the gospel until the day he died. But God put a thorn in his flesh because he could not utter those things that he had seen because they were so powerful. Now, I don't know why God didn't let him just go ahead and preach what he had seen. To me, it seems like that would be, but you understand, he would have been puffed up. It would have gone to his head.
Yeah.
That he got to go to heaven and you didn't. I got to go, you didn't. Anyway. But seriously, listen, they have a form, but they deny the power of pure living.
Amen.
They reject it. What they say is, I don't need that. I know I'm in church. Now, I don't know that these folks are saved. From this passage of Scripture, I don't believe they are at all. But the thing is, they're in church. They have a form of godliness. They could dress just like you're dressed. They could wear the clothes that you wear. They could sit in the same seats that you sit. They could go to the same church that you go to. They have a form of godliness. They have a shape of godliness, but on the outside.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
But they deny the power thereof. The power is that purity I'm talking about. The reason that we're in the condition we're in today in America, and really all over the world, but especially in our country, you know, there are third world countries that have nothing compared to what we have as far as money and advancement and technology, and they are far more godly than we are. And I'm praying, God, send me as a missionary, please, now. But seriously, they deny the power of purity. That's where we're at today. In our churches, dearly beloved, God's power is lacking because people deny it. They reject it. They refuse it. The reason is they love themselves. The reason is they love pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure. Listen, and here's what I said. Look in verse 6. For of this sort, the sort of people I just talked about, are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden or piled down with sins, and led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, verse 7 is a reference to those silly women. Not the men that are lovers of their own self. So remember I said a minute ago that ladies are the victims here? Well, here's the reason they're a victim. The ladies are victims here, but it's their own fault because they're in their homes laid and burdened down with sins, led away with diverse lust. And listen, these men, this spirit is creeping into their house. The word creeping means it's sneaking in.
Yeah.
Now listen, you can't sneak into this church building at night. You could break in, but it doesn't say that.
Right.
It says they creep in. But, however, if I did this, and I was sitting back there in my office, and I was working, you could creep in.
Sure.
Okay. Yep.
Verse 6 is saying, this spirit is creeping into... By the way, where's the woman?
House.
Where's the woman again?
At home.
Not at work.
Yep.
At home.
Yep. Preach it.
Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of lady I want. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I'll say it for you. That's old-fashioned, but it's right here in the Bible, dearly beloved. However, this woman is at home, but she's silly. That means she's foolish. And the Bible says her life is laden down with sins. That means she's just burdened herself down with sins.
Amen.
She's led away with divers lusts. Now, the reason that this spirit is creeping into houses and women and children are now being enveloped by this spirit is because they're leaving the door open.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
They've got the television on.
Yeah.
Shake your head like that, and amen, preacher, that's right. And that spirit is going right into those houses because they're leaving the doors open.
Amen.
They've got the social media with everything on there that's filthy and impure and vile that I've just described. Everybody's on that same garbage.
Amen.
And the door's wide open.
Amen. Preacher.
And see, this spirit is not holding back. This spirit is perilous, and it's sucking the life out of people. But look at this lady, though, this woman now, who is being attacked and a victim of this spirit. She's, in verse 7, she's ever learning. She's also churchy.
Great. Help us.
Are you kidding? This is all about church people. You want to have a better church? I'm going to tell you have a better church here in a minute. But this ain't it. This is what destroys a church. I don't think I need to say that. This is what destroys a church. The people in it. The spirit of the perilous last times lovers of self. You leave the door open, dearly beloved, and they're creeping in. They're coming in. They're taking over. And they're going to suck the life. They're going to suck the zeal, the fire, the energy you have for God and righteousness and cleanliness. And that's why we're in the nation that we're in. Right. Now listen, I'm not done yet. God doesn't leave us with the bad news. Okay? They leave the door open. The lovers of pleasure, lovers of self, sneak in because the door's open. They come in through those television, social media, cell phones, chat rooms, etc., etc. I mean, I remember back years ago when we were in Fort Worth, a young lady, she came to church, she got saved. I think she was a bus, her kids came on the bus, and then she came finally, she got saved, her kids got saved, they all got baptized, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed for her husband. Brian Bombinati was his name. And this fellow was ginormous. He was a big man. He was about 6'6", and he had to weigh 350, man. I mean, he was huge. And he came to church after we prayed and visited and invited and prayed and visited and prayed. And by the way, that's how you got to do it, folks.
Amen.
Tuesday afternoon at 6:45, we're visiting folks and we're praying for folks. Get here and help, amen. But listen, we prayed and we visited and we worked. And that man came to church and gloriously got saved. You know how I remember? Because I had to baptize that enormous man.
Amen.
I mean, he drugged me under. Oh, Lord, what do I do now?
Ah! Amen, bro.
You know what last I heard? She left him over a chat room relationship.
Bull. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, preach it, bro. Tell us.
Everything. Obliterated.
Yep.
These women are religious, studying, learning, it even says. They're learning. But they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because the spirit is prevalent. The spirit is overwhelming. These women's lives are loaded with sin, but they come to church once in a while.
Come on, preacher.
They learn something here and there. You understand, I don't have time to, but Acts chapter 17, the Bible says that Paul went into Athens and his heart was broken because the city was completely wholly filled with idolatry. And then he reasoned with him in the marketplace, and then he ended up that's where he went to Mars Hill, and he spoke to the whole council of Athens. The Bible says, though, that these folks in Athens, they were just consumed with, the Bible says, learning and hearing, telling and hearing some new thing. They were the most idolatrous city that Paul had ever seen, but they just wanted to know something and learn something new. Folks, that's not the answer.
Right.
Verse 8, the Bible says, these men, and now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. These men resist the truth. They're rebellious. Their minds are corrupt, it says. Their corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. That means they reject the faith. They want to learn things. They want to have a form of godliness. They want to, you know, be religious and feel good, but they're no way they're ever going to get saved with that kind of spirit. They're reprobate. They reject the faith, and they never learn the knowledge of the truth, never come to the knowledge. Listen, by the way, the knowledge of the truth is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth and the life. So they never get saved. The Spirit does not allow, the Spirit continually pulls and drags and sucks the life out of them. But they're in church. Listen to me. You can't leave the door open at your house. Look, it says in verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So we've got the evil men, the lovers of themselves, and the seducers, they're seducing women and children now too. They're creeping into houses and taking over families. The spirit. Now, I'm not talking about literal men, the spirit. Now, guarantee, brother, listen to me. They're creeping into churches too.
Yeah.
It is creeping into church too. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. I'm going to tell you what. You can't leave the door open at home. You can't keep watching that junk. You can't keep thinking, well, this is, you know, this doesn't hurt anybody. I'm doing this on my own, all by myself. Nobody else is around. Nobody knows. You're a fool.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
The door is wide open.
Amen.
This spirit is going to take you over.
Amen.
Because you're just loading yourself down with sins. And you're going to be led away with lust. Now listen, but understand something. That's your business at home, but this is the house of God.
Amen.
And the message in this series on chapter 13 is entitled A Better Church. A better church starts at home.
Amen.
Folks, listen, you've got to shut the door.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. How do you shut the door at church? I mean, I know not literally. How do we shut the door against this spirit at church? Listen to me, dear beloved. The Bible gives us the answer. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, he says, therefore. He says, Timothy, based on everything I just told you about the kind of people you're going to run into, I'm charging you. I'm telling you. I'm telling, this is your responsibility. I'm laying this on you now. I'm about to die. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. He said, Timothy, better listen to me. God's going to judge those people. They're dead in their sins and trespasses. But listen, God's going to judge you too.
Yeah.
You're going to stand before God as well, judgment seat of Christ. He says, I charge thee before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. But look what it says in the coming of his kingdom. Preach the word.
Yeah.
How do we keep the door closed in the house of God, dearly beloved? We preach the Bible.
Yeah.
Glory to God. That's the best thing I could have said all night long. Amen.
Yeah.
We preach the Bible.
Yeah.
How do we keep the door closed at home? Listen to me. It has to do with the word of God. But you better learn how to do that at home. You better fill your heart, your house, your mind, your rooms, your walls, your living room, your kitchen. Every room needs to be filled with the Word of God. Let it flow. I went to visit Lincoln last night, and listen, that was a blessing. I had a good visit with Lincoln, and he, you know what he was doing when I got there? Not watching TV. He was listening to preaching.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. I had a fit. I didn't want him to see me have a fit, because I had to be dignified because I'm the pastor. But that was a blessing. I don't know who it was. I didn't recognize the man's name, but he was listening to preaching.
Amen.
I didn't even see a television.
Amen.
Don't tell me if you have one. It doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is this. I don't know what you do at home. But folks, it's my responsibility, like the Bible says, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to judge me. And the answer to all of that spirit that we just talked about, the answer to those perilous times and those lovers of themselves and the lovers of flesh and those impure lifestyles and all that filthy wickedness and all that traitor, heady, high-minded, unholy, unthankful, wicked, preaching! Glory to God! Preach the Word of God!
Amen.
Hallelujah! How do we keep the door shut in the church? We take this Bible and we roar back and we get filled with God's Holy Spirit and we let it flow. We let it rip.
Let it rip.
Now, I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm talking about preaching the Bible.
Amen.
Preaching the Word of God. I just read all kinds of verses to you. I just explained it to you. I'm never going to do anything by the grace of God and never going to do anything but preach this precious book for many reasons. But right now, right here, I'm telling you, if we're going to keep the door shut, this spirit cannot creep into this house. We've got to have a preaching Bible church all the time.
Amen.
Preaching. Preaching. Glory to God. Listen to me. It has so much more. There's so much more to do to it than just killing time. It's not just listen, we could fill the time with all kinds of other things. But the preaching of the Bible, the singing does not close the door. The offering does not close the door. The preaching of the Bible closes the door. Closes the door.
Amen.
The Bible says, I'm to be in verse 2, preach the word, be instant. The word instant means present and ready always. It says in season when it's convenient. It says out of season when it's not convenient. Dearly beloved, it's really not anymore.
Amen.
It says, but listen, I want you to see something. It says reprove. I'm going to explain something to you here. The word reprove means tell people their faults.
Amen.
Now, you tell me. If I don't preach the Bible, how can I tell you your faults?
Come on.
I can't, because then it's me against you.
Amen.
Then it's flesh against flesh. Then it becomes a battle of the wills. But reproving according to the Word of God is I'm preaching the Bible, and that book is just going to go and right in your heart. It's going to tell you what's wrong with you.
Amen.
Reprove means to just tell them what's wrong. Tell them their faults. Listen to me. And then it says rebuke. Rebuke means to forbid them to continue in those faults.
Amen.
What, preacher, who do you think you are? Now, if that even crossed your mind, listen to me, that spirit's taken over.
Amen.
And you can always tell it, too.
Amen.
I'm trying to hurry, but this is important. Listen, folks, until Jesus comes, we have got to keep the door closed on this spirit.
Amen.
We cannot let the house of God be overcome by this spirit.
Right.
Listen to me. If you let your house get overcome by this spirit and you keep coming to this church, all of a sudden, you're not going to be here anymore.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Yep.
Why? Because the door's closed here.
Amen.
And you're trying to live a double life.
Amen.
You're trying to live a double life. You're trying to live on both sides of the fence. Walk both sides of the road. You can't do that.
Right.
And see, all of those characteristics in chapter 3 described a person's personal life. Man, woman, house. But then he goes, preach the word. That's the house of God.
Amen.
What do you mean, preacher? I mean, if you don't keep your house free of this junk, then you're not, all of a sudden, you're going to start thinking, I don't know if I want to go to church.
Come on, preacher.
You know, that church, you know, maybe I can find a different church.
Hello.
Yeah, preach it.
Amen.
You know, I'm just not happy anymore.
Hello.
But folks, I know I'm human, and I know that I gain weight, I lose weight, I grow hair, I cut hair off. I know I'm on fire. Sometimes I'm down, I'm up. I know I'm human. But since you've known me, I preach the Bible.
Amen.
Since you have known me, I preach the Bible.
Amen.
So if you all of a sudden, I just don't think I'm happy anymore, it's just not the same anymore. It ain't me.
That's right.
It ain't everybody else.
Amen.
It's you have left the door open.
Amen.
And listen to me, I can't control what you do.
Yep.
But I've got to control the door in this church.
Amen.
It's my job before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the Bible and keep the door shut.
Amen.
From that spirit.
Amen.
And you wonder, preacher, why isn't our church growing? Hello!
Come on.
Because this spirit is everywhere.
Amen.
And it ain't welcome here.
Amen.
And it's not supposed to be.
Right.
And you need to thank God for that.
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
See, It says reprove, rebuke, and then it says exhort. You know what? Okay, so I'm telling people their faults. I'm forbidding them to continue in them. Actually, God is. I'm just preaching the Bible. And then I'm inviting them or beseeching them to change.
Amen.
So I'm reproving and rebuking and exhorting is their invitation.
Amen.
The invitation to the preaching, the reproving, the rebuking, and then come to Jesus. Come kneel at the altar and make some changes. God spoke to your heart. Kneel down here at the old-fashioned altar and say, oh God, help me. I give my life to you. I give up this sin. I turn it over to you. Listen, that's a church service.
Amen.
That's what's supposed to happen.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's the answer that God's given us to the Spirit.
Amen.
Preach the word. Be instant. In season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. Use the word of God. Be patient, but you don't stop preaching. You don't let the door open. You see, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves what? Teachers. See, remember ever learning?
Yep.
Hello? They've got the ever learning, a form of God. I just want to learn something. Listen, you don't need to learn something. You need preaching.
Yeah.
We need good old-fashioned Bible preaching.
Yeah.
You, if you'll just be faithful to church, you'll learn more from preaching, especially from the Word of God, than you'll ever dreamed of learning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now listen, teaching has its place. Jesus taught. I know that. But I want to show you something up in chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Notice, there's four things it's profitable for. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in what? Righteousness, purity, clean living. So, there's four things listed there. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Reproof, correction, and instruction. That's preaching. Doctrine is teaching. That's one-fourth. Okay? Sunday school.
Yeah.
Preaching, preaching, preaching.
Yeah.
Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, was preaching, preaching. Sunday school is teaching.
Right.
Okay.
Be faithful to Sunday school. You will learn the Bible.
Yeah.
Study the Word of God. Preaching is the rest of the services are preaching. That's the way God, it's right there in the Bible.
Yeah.
Doctrine, then it says reproof, correction, and instruction. You tell them what's right, and then you tell them what's wrong, and then you tell them how to get right, and then you tell them how to stay right.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And that's what preaching is all about. And that's what the Word of God says. That scripture was given that says there that the man of God, that the preacher may be perfect. That means complete, entire, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Glory to God. I'm glad God gave me a Bible that does not lack anything. There's nothing missing in here. Amen. It has everything we need. It has everything we need. It's profitable for all things.
Amen.
You see, man though, however, in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, they shall turn away from their ears from the truth. And shall be turned into fables. See, what happens is all the teaching and the learning that they, instead of making them more godly, it turns them away.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Churches today, I know I'm preaching to the choir in some regard, but I just want you to see this is a beautiful thing, how God has opened it up to me. And I'm trying to open it. There's a reason we preach the Bible.
Amen.
It keeps the door shut.
Amen.
Amen.
Teaching is important, but it's only one-fourth of the whole equation.
Right.
Preaching is reproving, rebuking, and exhorting.
Amen.
Hey, there's nothing learned in that.
Uh-oh.
You know what you're learning from preaching? To live clean.
Amen.
You know what you're learning from preaching? Righteousness.
Amen.
Man, isn't that great? And listen, and when you get righteousness down, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Preaching gets you to the point where you see God and His power. Listen, the Bible says that it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. See, the world says that preaching of the cross, they perish. It's foolishness to them. But to us, those of us who are saved, it's the what?
Power
of God. And so when I get around that power of God, it says no more to that clean living, filthy living. No more to that spirit of perilous times. It's got to go or you're going to go. Now listen, nobody wants you to go. Obviously, that's not God's desire, but God's listen to me. I want you to think about, oh man, I'm hurrying. Lord, help me. I want you to think about something. Jesus walked into the temple, the house of God, and He took a whip with Him. He didn't set up a podium to teach them a cotton picking thing. He took a bull whip with Him and He turned those tables over and He said, "Get out of my Father's house." Now you tell me, what did they learn? What doctrine did He teach them? He taught them, this is a pure and righteous place. He didn't go teach them anything except righteousness is first. And when you get that, you can learn a lot. But see, they want to learn and learn and learn and learn, but they're not cleaning anything up. They're following in their same old pernicious ways. And so the preaching just gets old. They get tired of it because they won't respond. Man wants teaching so they can just continue in their unclean lifestyles with no conviction. There's no conviction in teaching.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Teaching has its place, but God says preach the Bible.
Amen.
Teach it when it's time, but preach the Bible. Purify, cleanse our house, cleanse our houses, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our homes, keep the door closed in our churches. Listen to me, here it is. Preaching, purity, pleases God.
Amen.
Amen.
You want a better church? Thank God for preaching.
Amen.
You want a better home, a better family? Clean it up.
Amen.
Clean it up.
Amen.
And then when you come to church, it'll just be a seamless transition from the cleanness and purity and righteousness of your house right into the righteousness of God. Oh yeah, I can't wait to get to church because they're just like me.
Amen. That's right.
Preacher's going to preach just like I like to preach. I've got to hurry up and quiet. I'm done. That's it. But listen to me. The love of God is always real.
Amen.
But His holiness is first.
Amen.
And Jesus loved His Father's house to such a degree that His holiness took over. And boy, when His disciples saw Him do that, what did they say? They remembered, wow, the zeal of thine house.
Yeah.
He was zealous over that place.
Amen.
Not about everybody learning something. He was kicking people out.
Right.
Now, I don't want to kick anybody out. But I've got to preach that Bible and keep the door shut.
Amen.
And if you understand, I hope you understand now after a few minutes of preaching how important it is.
Yeah.
Listen, but listen, you've got to keep your house clean.
Oh, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Or when you get here, the preaching goes forth. It's gonna bombard. It's gonna confront. It's gonna hit you in the face. And God's gonna say, "I'm not changing this book."
Amen.
I'm not changing this book for you. I'm not changing what the message, the man of God is charged before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach that book because that spirit is taking over.
Amen.
The door has got to be shut. Preach the Bible.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Clean and pure living. Oh, if we could just get back to that.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we love you tonight. Lord, we're thankful for the Bible. We're thankful for how it opens things up to help us see, Lord God, why we do what we do. Helps us see, Lord God, who you are and how you solve problems. Lord, how you always got the answer, Father, for the most wicked and evil generation.